Okay, the reading today is from 2 Kings 2, 1 to 18. That's 2 Kings 2, 1 to 18. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what could I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we are your servants of 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?"
It's good to see you all. We're continuing our series called New Beginnings. New Beginnings. And I've been speaking to you that the most important thing in a new beginning is not necessarily what's changing in your life. There are many things that are changing. We're coming and going. And it's sometimes the things that change which mark a new beginning for us. But what's most important is how can we seize the moment in this time that we're in? How can we seize the moment and proclaim the good news that we have about Jesus Christ? God's purpose in the world is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls us to make that our goal. Always, he always calls us, go, make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be with us. He'll be with us. That's what I want to speak about today. How is he with us? The teaching we find in the New Testament and throughout the scriptures is that God is with his people through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit. That's what we're speaking about today. It's hard, isn't it, to receive this call that I've been repeating each week when we feel so battered and beaten after the past 18 months. Many of us sense this weakness, this spiritual dryness within us, this desire to answer God's call, but a sense, how can we do this? How can we do it? And when we see things happening in our world which make us grieve, such as Haiti or Afghanistan or Plymouth, we grieve over these things. We long for the world to see Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. But how can we do this? How can we do this? Well, the answer is we do it by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, if you feel inadequate, then meet Elisha in our passage, 2 Kings chapter 2. I'd invite you to turn there because we're going to look at it quite closely at times. 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah is the mighty prophet of God, used by God to call Israel out of idolatry and to call them to the grace of God. And Elijah has had a very famous ministry, a very incredible ministry where God has shown his power in him. And Elisha is going to take it on. The mantle is going to pass to Elisha. And that's what we see happen in chapter 2. And as Ewan read this to us, I'm sure many of us thought, cool, this is strange, isn't it? It's just a bizarre chapter. And it's hard to understand. I've sat with this chapter for a week and I still have many questions about it. But what we're seeing here is Elisha receiving the power to continue Elijah's work. It's a transition. And there's an air, isn't there, in this passage of kind of anxiety and expectation. The prophets, the community of prophets are going, do you know Elijah's about to go? And Elisha, oh, yeah, be quiet. There's a sense of, God, how is Elisha going to do this? And I was trying to think in our church of how could we think an example of this? And one thing that came to me, it's silly, but imagine, you know, we're at the Christmas carol singing. It's a big event, isn't it, for Highfields? And we have the jazz carols. Some of my favourite one, I love jazz. And Corbin and Matthew Featherstone give us an amazing performance. And imagine, for some reason, the morning comes and they can't come. They can't come. I don't know, they've ascended to the musical heavens. And we're like, oh my goodness, where are they? And Dave Gobby gives the nod to me and Michael. Guys, you've got to do it. We got no one else. What are we going to do? Now, I think many of you would be going, Ben, do you know Matthew Featherstone? Do you know how good he is? How are you going to follow him? Michael's got a great voice. I've heard it, but I would struggle. And I think I would also be saying, God, help me. Give me the power to do this. That's a bit what's happening here. Elijah is another level. How is Elisha going to follow him? How are you, friends, going to fulfill the immense task that God has given you in this world? How are we as a church going to respond to God's call? Well, Elisha knows he needs the power of God's Spirit. Elijah has not done these things by his own strength, his own power. You know, Matthew Featherstone has a talent I'm never going to have. But Elijah's power is not in his own talent. It's in the power of God. And that's true for you also. And we're going to see that as we go through this. We're going to look at this passage through three questions. Three questions. Number one, what is the power? What is the power for? Number two, where is the power? Where is the power? And number three, how to walk in the power? Those three questions, what, where, how. So what is the power? That's the first question. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 6. We've seen, as Ewan was reading this, three repetitions of the same thing, haven't we? So it starts, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. I'm going to stop there because it's just repeated three times, isn't it? Whenever you see repeated things like this in biblical narrative, ask yourself, what's changing in each one? In each one, the place is changing, isn't it? The place is changing. It starts with from Gilgal to Bethel. Then it repeats again from Bethel. Now I'm going to Jericho. Elijah, stay here. But Elisha refuses to stay. And then to Jordan. Jordan. And at Jordan is the main event of the whole passage, where Elijah parts the waters at the river Jordan and takes Elisha to the other side. Now what we're seeing here is that the place names are showing Elisha what his ministry is going to be. It's almost like a first day at work and Elisha's getting a tour. This is what you're going to have to go through. And if you knew, many of you might be seeing this, if you knew the Bible very well, you would know that these places are very significant place names, especially in the life of Joshua. Joshua was the man who took on the ministry from Moses after Moses led the people through the Exodus. Then Joshua took on the ministry at the River Jordan. He began his ministry there and he parted the waters of the River Jordan. And he took his people into the promised land, going through Bethel, going through Jericho, the famous stories we see there. And what Elijah is doing is he's walking Elisha through and saying, this is going to be your ministry. Moses passed on. Moses, the great prophet, passed on the ministry to Joshua. Now Elijah is passing on the ministry to Elisha. And all these places are full of idolatry. Full of idolatry. And darkness because of that idolatry. And Elisha is going to be used by God to bring change, to bring the people back to true worship and to where they were called to be. Elisha is receiving his ministry here. He's being shown, look, the power is not just for any old thing. It's for this. It's for this. To go to the River Jordan. God's purposes are always the same. We have one God who is consistent and changeable. And his desire is always to bring his people out of slavery, which he does through the Exodus, and into the promised land. What Moses and Joshua were called to do, Elijah and Elisha were called to do. The power of God is aimed there. And when you zoom out of this passage, you see that how this is relevant for you also. Because there are three major prophetic successions in the scriptures. Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, and we have Jesus and the church. Jesus, in his ministry in the Gospels, Moses and Elijah are very prominent in the Gospels. And we have that amazing scene when in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus is transfigured. He becomes white. The glory of God shines from him. And there are two people with him, Moses and Elijah. And it says that they speak about his coming departure or exodus in the Greek. And then you get Peter coming up, oh, I'll build some tents for you. But that's what's happening there. These three figures, Jesus, Elijah and Moses, are all connected. They all have this same ministry. And that's where you come into this passage, friends. Elisha is like the church. And Elijah is like Jesus. And what we see in the book of Acts is Jesus passing on his ministry to the church, to the disciples. They are called to complete his ministry. Jesus came on earth. He accomplished our salvation on the cross fully. It is finished, he says. And if you're not a believer here today, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you somehow have to earn your salvation by works. Jesus has accomplished your salvation. Simply by believing in him, you will be saved. But Jesus doesn't finish his work and then say, well, now you just stand there and wait. You're saved. Don't worry about it. No. He says, go. I will give you power from on high. Declare my gospel to the ends of the earth. Be my witnesses. The power of God, what is it for? It's not just for anything. It's for the one mission of God in Jesus Christ. God wants to make all things new. He wants to restore the creation that he loves to its fullness, to its glory, to its beauty. He wants to bring human beings to himself. And that's what Jesus has done. And we're called, make it known. Make it known. That's what the power is for. It's so important for you to see that. So important when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. How often I've seen people seek the power of the Spirit just for their own kind of experience. But it's never given for that purpose. It's given for the mission of God. And that is that mission, as we commit ourselves to that mission, the experience of the love of God, the joy of God, comes with it. God gives us a thirst for himself. And the Spirit of God quenches that thirst. It helps us. It gives us what we are looking for. The power is for the one mission of God in Jesus. So what does that mean? And where is the power? That's our second point. Where is it? And this passage shows us where the power is. In verse 7 and verse 8, we see that Elijah shows, he demonstrates the power as he passes, as he parts the waters in the River Jordan. And then in verse 9, we have Elisha asking Elijah for the power. So it says, verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me have a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You've asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and of horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And then the company of the prophets say, the spirit of Elijah surely is resting on Elisha. Elisha does the exact thing that Elijah did. He parts the waters. He parts the waters. But where is this power from? Where is the power from? Here we are seeing what I'd like to call the Pentecost of Elisha. It's the Pentecost of Elisha. If you weren't convinced that Elisha is a type of the church and Elijah a type of Jesus, see the Pentecost of Elisha. It has so many parallels with Jesus. Jesus ascends into the heavens at the end of his ministry on earth, and the disciples are told to watch him ascend and to wait from the power. And as Jesus ascends, they wait, and the power of the Spirit comes down upon them in tongues of fire. And just as the prophets, there's a community there watching Elisha part the waters and marveling that the Spirit of God is in him. So too, the disciples have people watch them as they speak in the languages of the nation, showing that Jesus has broken down all ethnic and cultural divisions. The power is in the Spirit of God. And you have access to that power through Jesus Christ. He ascended. He ascended in order to pour out his Spirit upon us. We have the access to that Spirit. It's very different, friends, from the way that we often think of power in our society today. Generally, what people say is, look, the problems in the world are out there. They're out there. The power to change is in you. It's within you. You've got to harness that inner human spirit of yours and express yourself. Some people recognize, well, it's not quite like that. You are also a bit of a problem. There's a problem in you too. So what you need to do is sort yourself out first. Sort yourself out first, and then you can help others. The Bible says almost the opposite to that, especially in our passage today. It says the problem is not outside of you primarily. There are definitely problems outside of you. But the main problem is within, in the fallen human heart that is separated from God. And the power is not within, but outside. It's not within, it's outside of you, in the Spirit of God, in the heavens, breaking in upon the earth. No one can open their own eyes to see the spiritual realities of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. We need the Holy Spirit. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. These two views common in our society, that the power is within you, stem really from a naturalistic view of the world, that it's just material. And there's blind forces outside of us that you are closed to. They have no way of affecting you inside. So it's all about you. Seek the power within. It's a naturalistic worldview. If we are going to avoid that trap, which I think, to be honest, speaking for myself, I often fall into, depending on my own strength. If we're going to avoid that, we need to recognize that there is a spiritual realm and that we are open to its influences. We don't live in a closed world. We live in a world infused by God's Spirit. And if we would open up, if we would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit is poured out upon us and gives us power. The scriptures talk much about the natural world, the order that God has made, that there are natural forces that we can trust, rely upon, that the natural sciences can observe. And we can profit from that by wisdom. We can know the way of God's world and work within it. But there are some things that we need which are outside of our own wisdom and strength and knowledge. And we need the Holy Spirit to change us. He can change us. Can change the heart. Haven't we seen that in our own selves, if you're a Christian? That the Spirit of God has changed you, produced something in you that's almost like it's just come from nowhere. The Holy Spirit has the power to change us. And I think if we're going to take this passage, 2 Kings chapter 2, we've got to almost receive it as shifting the way we see the world. God has the power to enter into this world, and he does it freely as he wishes. Now, how do you walk in the power? This is the third point. How do you walk in the power? The power is to continue the works of Jesus. The power is found in the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus' people. How then do you walk in the power? And this is our final point. And there's a lot we can learn from Elisha. I think Mark Wiltshire was just saying to me after the first service how he just loves Elisha. It just refreshes his heart to see the boldness of Elisha, a man of few words, he called him. And three things we see that Elisha, I think, teaches us about how do we receive the power of the Spirit and walk in it. Three things: perceive, pray, and persist. Verse 10, look at verse 10. Elijah says that what Elisha has asked for is a difficult thing. Elijah said, "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, It will be yours, this double portion, it will be yours. Otherwise, if you don't see me, it will not, will not. For Elijah to receive the double portion of he needs to see his master ascend. And there are many prophets also watching this event. And yet it seems like what they've seen Elijah be taken by the Spirit of the Lord. But in verse 17 and 18, it's like they've not really understood what's happened, isn't it? They're like, oh, well, maybe the Spirit of the Lord has taken him over there. But Elisha sees, no, the Lord has taken him into his heavenly place. And there's something about seeing that which changes things for Elisha. It's necessary. I'm not sure it's worth thinking about this in your own time. Why does he have to see it? One theologian explains it like this. I thought this was helpful in some regard. He explains the logic of this test by saying, it is the responsibility of the prophet to be able to see God. And if Elisha cannot see God in this critical instance, then he is not able to take on the role of one who sees God in other instances. Elisha cannot be a prophet like Elijah unless he has the requisite spiritual capacity. This is a spiritual perception that we are talking about. And it's very emphasized in the New Testament that the disciples of Jesus saw him ascend before the Spirit fell upon them. What does this mean for us? I think for us, spiritual perception is seeing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he died and rose again and ascended into the heavens, and he is there seated now, governing all things. That is simply faith. Faith, seeing these things is faith. And what we learn in the New Testament is that every single believer has had the Spirit of God poured out upon them. The Spirit is in you if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a separate category of people who have the Spirit, whereas other Christians don't. No, if you are a child of God, it's because you've been adopted by the Spirit of God who dwells within you. What a wonder this is. This is an amazing truth. It's incredible that the Spirit of God is in you. I often marvel at myself of how inattentive I am to that truth. But Elisha encourages us, no, desire this, desire the Spirit of God, see Jesus and walk in the power of the Spirit, and then pray. What does Elijah do after the double portion has fallen upon him? He says, where is the Lord of Elijah? Where is the Spirit of God? Where is he? There's an expectancy in Elisha, isn't there? A fervency in his prayer, a desire to experience the power of the Spirit and to act in the power of the Spirit. It's amazing. In the rest of chapter 2, what does Elisha do? He parts the River Jordan. He heals the water in Jericho. And then he enacts judgment in Bethel. He's doing the works of God with the Spirit, and he's eagerly seeking. He shows us that prayer, friends, is so important if we are to walk in the power of the Spirit. Prayer is vital. It's a wonderful gift that we get to enjoy. I've found that with prayer and perceiving the works of God, they almost go together. The more we pray, the more we come to know the ways of our Father and understand his ways in the world. And I found that so important for myself when it comes to times when you do not see the power of God at work, or when you do not understand it. Unanswered prayer. I was talking to someone about this after the first service. Unanswered prayer is just one of the hardest things, isn't it? When you have someone you love, and you desire them to come out of this immense suffering or cancer or illness, and you pray, you know that they're loved by God and you want them to be healed and they're not healed. Maybe even you have unanswered prayers for yourself. How do we understand that? It's not that God doesn't have enough power. How do we understand our unanswered prayers? I think it's helpful, friends, to remember what we spoke about at the beginning. The purposes of the Spirit are to display and continue the works of Jesus amongst us. And sometimes what we see in the life of Jesus especially is that it's not by all things going well that his power is made known. Sometimes God leads us through very dark paths, but in those times he demonstrates his power in us. And then therefore we should persist. We should persist in prayer. We should persist in seeking the Spirit's power at work in us. Elijah says, "No, I will not stay here. As long as you live, as long as the Lord lives, I will go with you." He's persistent. I love, there's something about Elijah I think we need to receive. That there is a call to be bold with the Lord. To ask him to work in us, to demonstrate his power in us. When we take all these things together, we see a very different vision of power, don't we? This is what I just want to end on this, is that when you see power, the power of the Spirit wielded in the life of Jesus Christ, it's not in one who lords power over others. It's not in one who seeks other people to serve him. Power is shown in the self-giving love of Jesus Christ on the cross. Gives himself even for those who are insulting him. It's the power of one who came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, to love. And that's what the Lord will do through us if we seek to walk in the power of the Spirit. And I pray that he would. I pray that he would. Let's pray together now. Father, we are grateful that you have given us a power by which we can change, we can be changed in our inner being. The power to change our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who feel in a very dry place spiritually, who feel that the weight of sin and the grief that we see in this world has led them, Lord, to a dark place. I pray, I ask you to pour out your Spirit upon them, to make them know your love. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you. I pray that you'd give them the perception to see Jesus died, risen, ascended as the Lord of all things, the hope of all creation. And I pray that you'd help us to walk in this power in this new season that we are entering. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.